Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Jeff and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light, so bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation giving superhuman insight, so bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Aaron Snyder. We are the only movie podcast on the internet that you're listening to right now.
That's certified.
I'm your host. Yes. I'm your host, Jeff Baer, along with me, as always, my co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hello. My name is Eric D. Snyder. I'm the host of Movie BS with Baer and Snyder, here with my sidekick, Jeff Baer. See what I did? I called you a sidekick.
Oh.
You weren't even listening. I would have gotten away with it, too. You tune out when I'm talking. I know.
You know what? That was after 5 years, I decided I would only pay attention to me instead of just doing that like 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. I was going to go a full 100.
Mm-hmm. We begin our sixth year on the show. We're now into our sixth year.
Mm-hmm. It's like for first graders.
Yeah. Six seasons in a movie. That'll be the show.
Oh, interesting.
We have several movies to talk about, and I guess we'll do that.
By that rationale, we are so impressive in the episodes that we're turning out each year. Like, a lot of shows are only doing like 12 now.
That's
sometimes
right.
Only 8.
We do like 50, 52. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's true. We have a work ethic. Most shows, they it's a few weeks on, then a few weeks of reruns. We're on every week. Every week we do a show.
By that rationale, should our movie be like 40 hours long?
I guess that would make sense. That would make sense. Yeah.
All right. So look for that in the future. One episode that's 40 hours.
It'll be a movie. It'll be in theaters.
Oh, that's true. A movie. Yeah. Still only audio, though, only, right?
Right, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Or maybe none of those things will happen. Who knows?
You know what I was thinking about?
What?
You know how Meerkat exists and things to the like? They exist now?
I know that Meerkat is a thing. And Periscope is the other one that's also like that, I
think.
Yes,
Periscope's also a thing. Mm-hmm. One day we could do that and like people could just watch one half of us do the show while we're doing the show. And then they could listen to it 2 days later.
That's true.
That's the only thing that would be possibly of use for us, which sounds awful.
Yeah, because they would
be the worst thing.
They'd only be able to hear the one person they were watching.
Right.
So they'd only be able to hear one half of the conversation. Which, if it's my half, that would be fine. That's true.
That's right. If their dream is to never hear me again,
right,
that's
right.
How it could be achieved.
Let's get to it, should we?
Yes, let's get to it. We're going to talk about a couple movies, one of which we both saw.
The Longest Ride. This is based on a Nicholas Sparks book. And, you know, we have
it's
the
accurate.
Rule.
One of the words is accurate in the title.
Longest.
The is accurate.
The is accurate. It is the, it's not the longest movie, although it's close.
No, in feeling.
Oh, man, I was so upset when I saw on IMDb that the running time was 139 minutes, because that's ridiculous. Because even a Nicholas Sparks book on CD wouldn't last 139 minutes, I'm sure.
The unabridged, yeah, you're right.
Turns out it's actually on 129 minutes. But still,
And
this we have normally we often invoke the Nicholas Sparks rule on this show, as longtime listeners know, which is with the Nicholas Sparks movie or anything like it, we go ahead and tell you the whole plot, including all the crazy parts. But here's the thing:
because we know that you don't need to see that movie.
Yeah,
we can accurately judge that, and mm-hmm. and if we're ruining it for you,
you can skip ahead.
You can skip ahead.
Yeah, we know you don't care, but this movie. Despite being a Nicholas Sparks movie, isn't that crazy? Like, nothing really bizarre, insane happens, which is not full Sparks. Pretty disappointing. Pretty disappointing.
Yeah. Very mild Sparks coming out of this mm-hmm. one.
Should we play? I want to play a game right now.
I
just thought of this game. I'm going to name another movie based on a Nicholas Sparks novel. You tell me anything at all you can remember about that movie.
Okay. Oh, come on. That's almost not fair asking me. Okay. Okay. Let's do it.
I think I could ask anyone. Okay. The Lucky One.
Zac Efron.
Yes.
Nice. He lives in like a shed or something, I think. And I want to say he's got some horses.
That's pretty good, I think. He's the Marine who goes to Louisiana to find the woman that he believes was his good luck charm. And he sort of stalks her, kind of, and then becomes her friend. Yes.
That's right. Okay.
That's the lucky one.
All right. Yeah, let's keep doing this. This is good.
Here's one. The Last Song.
The Last Song has Miley Cyrus and Greg Kinnear.
Yes.
And their father, daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he dies very surprisingly, or it's like there's only one or two nods to it where you're like, oh, that's about to happen.
It's surprising unless you've seen a Nicholas Sparks movie before.
Yeah, right. And because of it, she loves a guy and some sea turtles.
I don't remember the sea turtles. Could be sea turtles. Sea turtles. Yeah, I think there are sea turtles. Yeah, because they're in a beach town.
Do you remember? I don't know how it all intertwines though. To like. I don't know why the dad needs to die in order for her to love.
I don't remember either. The guy that she's in love with, Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, Hemsworth.
And we'll do one more here. How about Safe Haven? Safe Haven.
Safe Haven. Safe Haven really bothered me. Safe Haven is the one where – isn't it the little dancer from the Dancing with the Stars show? She's in it.
I don't know who that is.
Like there's a little blonde girl that was definite woman who was trying to be an actress.
Julianne Hough or Huff.
Is that the one that was also in the Tom Cruise singing movie with Alec Baldwin?
Yes, Rock of Ages. Yes,
Rock of Ages. Okay, so she's in it,
uh-huh.
And she's got to escape an abusive husband.
Yes.
And has a secret identity, but constantly wants to hang out with this guy, even though she shouldn't get too close. Falls in love with him very quickly. There's some sort of scuffle, and somebody dies, and then she's got to go on the run again, maybe? Or she thinks she does? I don't know.
Yeah, that could be something like that.
That part could be made up.
No, I think that's right. Well, you did better at that game than I thought you would. I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
I think we should just do all of those and then be done talking about The Longest Ride. That's fun to try to remember those.
Do you know this? The Longest Ride, the new one. How many movies is this now based on Nicholas Sparks' books?
Seven?
Ten. This is the tenth. Yeah. So
The Notebook is Sparks, right?
Or it is.
The Notebook not even? Okay.
The Notebook is peak Sparks.
Well, that's the first Sparks, right?
Not even the first, no. First was Message in a Bottle, 1999.
Kevin Costner, mm-hmm. Robin Wright.
I don't think I ever saw it, actually.
There's a message, I assume.
Then there was a Walk to Remember with Mandy Moore, who was the Miley Cyrus of her day.
And Keanu Reeves?
No, Shane West.
Oh. A Walk in the Clouds.
Yeah. And then The Notebook. Knights and Rodanthe, Dear John, The Last Song, The Lucky One, Safe Haven, The Best of Me. That was last year. Did we see that? The Best of Me?
We skipped that one. See it. I think it was because of a film festival.
That seems like a good excuse.
Wait a minute. Who's in The Best of Me?
James Marsden, Michelle Monaghan, pair of former high school sweethearts reunite after many years when they return to visit their small hometown. Came out in mid-October, so it wouldn't have been a film festival that we skipped it for. I don't know. Who knows? There's no way of knowing.
I wonder if this is the one. There was a movie a while ago where I was like, you know what? I have to see less movies.
you think that was the tipping point?
Where I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to.
That could have been. Could have been. That seems like one where we would.
I should have recalled that for last night because I had to get a babysitter for last night.
Oh.
Should not have done it.
I'm sorry. You know who else should have gotten a babysitter is the woman at the screening who had a 3-year-old kid with her who was not really enjoying the movie. She should have gotten a babysitter.
I got you beat. There was a 1.5-year-old in the front row. It was my theater was not full, mm-hmm. but in the front 3 rows of this theater, there was two parents with this little kid, and nobody sitting around them. And then the left side of that three front rows was full. Like it was literally like the baby had dropped a bomb, a stink bomb around itself. And it was, but like, yeah, just talking, mumbling. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
All right. So the longest ride, here we go. Here's all this that happens here. This is all that it's about. You got a rodeo fella named Luke Collins, played by Scott Eastwood. He's a rodeo, a bull rider. By the way, the rodeo, if you love boots but hate animals, the rodeo is for you.
If you love boots but hate animals.
So you love boots, but you really want to see animals abused and tormented, then the rodeo.
Or going through clearly some personal trauma that isn't fully explained, but you can see that they've kind of been through hell, so you can just assume what kind of hell they've had to experience.
You're talking about the bull or the rider?
The bull.
Yeah, the bull's been through a lot.
Yeah, the bull's been through a lot because clearly they're upset about something.
The bulls at a rodeo, the bulls are always the most sympathetic figures, for sure.
Don't you like how though the bulls have like rankings?
Even the bulls are ranked. Yeah, I didn't know that either. I learned that about the rodeo.
Like, I wonder if the bull like really gets to feel that, enjoy that part of the whole thing. Is like, I'm number two in the world.
Probably not, because to the bull, all it is hey, here's some idiot sitting on my back. Get off my back. I would not do the same thing. If you sat on my back, I would buck like hell to get you off too. I don't care who you are.
No, that's not true. So wait. You know the bulls they have to be trained to buck.
Do they? It seems like that would be a bull's natural impulse.
I think it might be their natural impulse, but here's the thing. You want to make sure you're putting on a good show for your audience. I guarantee you there is something going on to make the bull more agitated than usual. Because they wouldn't guarantee it's like, hey, no, it's fine. I'm just, you know what? I'm going to look for grass in this circle while you're on me. You've been doing this a lot. I'm just going to get over it.
That would be funny if the bull is just like really just didn't care.
Oh, yeah, hop on. You want to go somewhere? You want to need a ride?
Guy does his 8 seconds. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I did it.
So Luke Collins, he's a rodeo rider, and he got hurt, hit in the head, but he's okay now. Don't worry about him.
That's what he'll keep telling you.
And then he meets a sorority girl named Sophia, played by...
From the East Coast.
Right,
Different worlds.
That's true. Well, right? except he's they're in North Carolina. He's a local.
Right.
North Carolina is the East Coast. She's from New Jersey.
No.
She's not from the South.
She's from New Jersey. Plans to be in New York. She's up there. Mm-hmm. He's down there.
She's more of a city slicker.
Right.
And she's played by Britt Robertson, with whom I am not familiar.
I agree. And I found her not very. She wasn't annoying.
No, she's fine.
I was not annoyed by her presence. You know what, Scott Eastwood? On occasion. Kind of looks like Fassbender's brother.
I kept thinking he looked less like Clint Eastwood's son and more like Kurt Russell's son.
Okay.
I kept getting a Kurt Russell vibe from him.
Yeah.
But I can see Michael F. Fassbender too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Luke and Sophia, they start dating, even though she's going off to New York for her big internship in a couple of months.
2 months. 2 months. That's all she's got. Isn't that more of a compelling reason for this potential romance to work?
So they start dating, and then on the first date, they go to a little picnic by the lake. It's very cute. Luke is a gentleman. Of course, he's a cowboy. He's a gentleman.
He's really a super gentleman.
He is. That's the thing about cowboys. Say what you will about cowboys, like the fact that they're mean to bulls, but they are nice to women.
Mm-hmm.
On their first date, they happen to see a car accident. Car's gone over the railing, and it's driven by Alan Alda. As himself, that would be a great movie. That would be a lot better if it's
beloved
Hollywood star Alan Alda. No, Alan Alda playing some old guy, Ira Levinson, and they're in the car and they rescue him. He's got a box of letters. So now he's in the hospital. So now it's the story of this girl, Sophia, being friends with this old guy and reading his old letters that he used to write to his sweetheart. And so now brace yourselves, everybody, brace yourselves, because this means lots of flashbacks.
Lots of flashbacks
to the 1940s.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, like from time to time, Hollywood listens. Like, you know, people are like, we want a varied class to represent America better. Right. And bam, we get the Fast and Furious franchise.
Right.
Hollywood listens on occasion.
Every now and then they get it right. Yeah.
Here's what Hollywood's doing. All right. We've heard you. And what you want is a bull rider cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to include 1940s through a Jewish soldier's eyes. Mm-hmm. You want that with your cowboy. Mm-hmm. Bam.
Yeah, that's what people
say. Longest ride.
Exactly. And so these – here's the thing. The so we keep seeing in the present the conflict with Luke and Sophia, such as it is that she might be going off to New York soon, and they're from two different worlds, which is the extent of that two different worlds business. Like, she goes to the rodeo. She apparently enjoys the rodeo. She has no problem with the rodeo, apparently.
Right,
she likes
right.
that. He goes to one art show, and he's like, F that, I'm done. I cannot handle this snooty. And he overreacts, and she overreacts, and I just want to smack them both.
That was the key. They both overreacted for the movie's sake because there was really nothing going on.
There had to be something to break them up, and so that was the best they could come up with.
So it's just like, I don't know. What if he and not only that, it was like he makes an offhanded remark that could be considered cute, could be considered over the top,
right?
Whatever the case may be, but
in his defense, the woman did laugh, and she said she liked him.
Right. Right.
I'm just saying. I think, you know, he could have sold the joke better. Anyway, and so then meanwhile, in the past, there's young Ira and his wife, Ruth, and they can't have kids because he went off to the war and then he got shot. He got shot in the gut rescuing someone, saving someone's life, obviously.
He got an infection.
Got an infection. And so now he can't father children.
Settle down.
Was not
Let's
explained.
Not overthink it.
Not explained. Like, if he'd gotten his wiener shot off in the war, okay. But he just got, he got shot in the belly or something. I want to explain why they can't have children.
That is not what they need to explain.
What do they need to explain?
What they need to explain is, here's one line.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to adopt, but it wasn't so easy back then.
Mm. Why not?
Why?
Because you were Jewish? Was it a Jewish thing? Jewish in North Carolina in the 40s? That might have been tough. True.
Maybe.
Was it
there was just like – there was no children that wanted – they were just not into it? They were
remember,
like, no.
You remember in the 40s? No, in the 40s, because of the war, there was a great child shortage. Very few children around. And so many people – orphanages had to close up. Very sad. Many orphanage owners lost their livelihood.
That's why Annie is actually considered like more of a fantasy than anything else, because it was like, there was no orphanage.
Well, that was the Depression. The Depression, lots of orphans.
Thank you.
World
thank
War
you.
II, they'd all grown up to fight the war.
I could not get over that one line. Like, that to me was just like, wait a minute, what are you – you're not even trying.
Yeah. We can't have kids. Why? It doesn't matter. And we can't adopt either. Why? It doesn't matter. We just can't.
No. We like art.
We just do.
The important thing. Because of this thing that we're going to do at the end, that's the important thing.
And so waiting. So we're seeing, but most of the film is in the present. Like, I'd say maybe 25% is the older stuff.
And in the older stuff, it's Jack Houston. Houston. There we go. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that was in Boardwalk Empire. That was the sharpshooter that had a third of his face missing. And I've seen him with really good material there. I really liked him in that. So I don't hold anything against him with those flashback scenes. I don't blame him. Just like I don't blame Alan Alda. I don't blame Eastwood. I don't blame the new girl Robertson for me.
None of this is any of the fault of the people in the movie.
It's just the script.
Jack Houston,
the movement of the movie.
Jack, this is actually interesting. Jack Houston is the grandson of legendary Hollywood actor and director John Houston, the woman who plays Ruth, his wife, is Una Chaplin, who is, I want to say, the granddaughter of Charlie Chaplin.
Wow.
Yes, granddaughter of Charlie Chaplin. So that's interesting. Someone should put those two in like a good movie, some Hollywood royalty.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for, as when there's the parallel or the different timelines, I kept waiting for the story in the past to somehow figure into the story in the present. Like, it would turn out that one of them was related to one of them or something. But no, they just kind of wanted to show us that stuff. They sort of took in kind of a foster kid who was dirty, and they sort of taught him, and they were inspiration to him. That mattered. Nothing else of the older stuff mattered at all.
Yeah. Well, and it mattered to them as far as
but to the movie
sort of impact. But yeah,
for the movie, otherwise, and telling the story did not matter.
Otherwise, once again, North Carolina seems to look, if they filmed it there, mm-hmm. seems to look really good on the big screen.
Seemed like a nice place.
Like the rolling hills, the fog in the morning, all of that sort of stuff. Black Mountain College seems interesting, mm-hmm. Conceptually. It's just so lazy, because what this movie has as far as romance goes, which is its key, is montages on the beach. Mm-hmm. It is, oh my gosh, I have a really good idea. This will be such a good idea. And they just go in the photo booth together.
No.
It is laughing when there's no need to laugh, and then like frolicking.
Here's how lazy this movie yeah. is. The all of the past is related to us in the letters that Ira wrote to his beloved at the time, and he has kept these letters. Now, now the nature – and so we hear – like Alan Alda reads them in his voice. We hear the narration. Here's the thing about the letters, though. The letters are always – he's writing to Ruth, and they're always telling her what they did. And we see the postmarks of the letters. He did not write these and then send them later. He wrote them and mailed them. So it's basically like they would go and spend the day together. Then he would write a letter telling her all the things they did and then apparently mail it to her. He confused mm-hmm. Letters with like a diary.
Not only that, it didn't figure in the sense that, oh, she really enjoyed reading these letters.
No.
Or, oh, this meant a lot to her when she lost her memory.
No, just a plot device. They'll have an excuse to read that, to have an excuse to tell us what happened back then. Yeah,
totally. And then there was like there was a letter that he July 12th, and he goes, "Oh, I remember that day."
Yeah.
But guess what? The letter, not only was it about that day, but apparently it was about the montage of vacations they
right.
then took in the
yeah.
future.
Even though
and it was like,
even though he wrote the letter on the day, somehow in the letter he also wrote about things that would happen in the future.
That's right. So that was
I kept waiting. Yeah. I kept waiting for that to be the revelation that he had never actually mailed these letters, but he had kept them as like an ongoing thing, and there was some reason yeah. why he never sent them. But no, he sent them, and the movie's just lazy.
Yeah, it is. It's terribly lazy. Lazy to the point where, once again, things like I love mac and cheese is somehow something that's going to be filler and like surprising. And it's like, oh, that's a wholesome food that you like. How interesting on our first date.
Here are the things. If you like a movie that says these things, and this is the movie for you, here are some things that people say in the movie. I don't know what the future holds, but I know there's no future without you. Also, the reason I like – this is the guy, Luke, talking to Sophia. He says, the reason I like you is because you're not like everyone else, which P.S., yes, she is. Like, there's nothing about her that's different from – like, they sort of imply that she studies more than the other sorority girls.
Here
but
you
that's
go.
It.
Are you ready? Are yeah. you ready for how she's not like everybody else? The yeah. movie did this, and I knew what it was doing right away. Did you notice that her sorority sisters mm-hmm. were excited to go to the rodeo to meet cowboys?
Right.
But she wasn't.
She wanted
she
to study.
Was dragged along.
Yeah.
And that way, she wouldn't be into cowboys and wouldn't be immediately turned on by them.
Well, but I think that was more because she wanted to study. She's a bookworm or something.
But no, but it also proves how she's different. In other words, she doesn't fawn over him like a rodeo groupie might.
Right.
By the way, there was such a good chance, and the movie almost did it, where it was going to give us something visually unique about riding a bull. Or like talking about the art of riding a bull. And I understand I personally don't appreciate the sport. Like, I'm not a fan of it. Like, I'm not a fan of some other sports, too, that
right.
just the violent factor or whatever the case may be. There is some visuals to where it's like, oh, I really wish they would have focused on this more. But the weird part also is I think – don't you assume the PBR is an actual thing, the professional bull riding?
I assume.
And therefore, they helped make this movie on some level by either allowing it was that weird thing of like injuries were kind of glossed over, even though they were part of the plot in a yeah. way.
There's that part right near the end where the very lovingly filmed slow motion of the bull riding and the bull slobber is flying everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's visually dynamic compared to like, you know.
Yeah.
The other crap that they were just like, okay, so that stunt guy rode a bull for a while. What's the point? What's the point?
By the way, rodeo is a sport shooting a fish is a sport. Like, it's not a sport if it's not like a competition. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. They were trying to say something about bull riding being courageous, but I don't think they really effectively did that either. So
yeah, I don't really know what's courageous about. I mean, it's I guess it's courageous.
I guess.
Seems kind of stupid to me.
Well, after a certain point, especially, it seems like it could be not in one's best health.
Like, for example,
certain things happen.
If one has had a head injury and then one's doctor tells one that one should stop riding bulls.
Yeah.
For example.
Like that would be an
example. Hypothetically, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So it's not a good movie and it's too long. D+.
It's a 4 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
I never want to see it again. I never want to talk about it again.
I accept. I agree to your terms.
All right.
Another movie that you saw that I didn't is While We're Young, which I missed because the local screening was when we were at South by Southwest.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Me too, because I like that Noah Baumbach
made
this movie.
Yeah, this one to me, because he's got what is the other one he has?
Got that other one that Mistress America.
Yeah, so that was really weird that so I was able to see Mistress America. Did you see that as well?
Mm-hmm. At Sundance, yeah.
Yeah, so we saw that at Sundance, and then suddenly this one comes out kind of making me feel like, wait a minute, did I miss something? Is this like is this a hidden gem? Are they just kind of dumping this?
While We're Young, I think, played at Toronto last September, so it's actually the first one.
Okay. So yeah, this has a really nice cast of Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, and what is her name?
Amanda Seyfried.
Yes, Amanda Seyfried. And the idea is quite simple. Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts, they're middle-aged, I think 40s, don't have any children, and a young couple enters their life, and they're charmed by them, and they remember what it was like when they were young.
Ah.
Now, Ben Stiller is a documentarian who's been slowly killing himself to get this one subject perfect over many years.
Okay.
And Adam Driver is a filmmaker, a documentarian in his own right who loves the now.
All right.
But there's other aspects to it too. Like they are old school. They're New Yorkers who have chickens. They are New Yorkers who are like, no, let's not look at our phone. Let's embrace the moment.
These are who the older couple are like this?
No, the younger.
Oh, the younger couple are. Oh.
Whereas the older couple is like set in their ways, like playing, words with friends in their bed or something like that.
Right.
So it is that thing that like remembering what it was like to be passionate and ignorant in a good way, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. I just for the longest time, I couldn't quite figure out, well, this is all well and good and I'm totally entertained. But what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, why am I hanging out with everybody?
What is the point?
The point seems to be, how does that translate into creating art? In the sense of, do you need that experience of growing up with Nintendo to really talk about the first Nintendo? Mm. Or can you experience it on some level if you're young now, if you're in your 20s now? Or are you using it simply as a device?
All right.
Where it's like kitschy to refer to Nintendo as something or know to of an obscure 80s cartoon or something to that effect. And there's one really impassioned speech toward the end from Ben Stiller that's great, but as soon as it's over, it kind of slips back into, yeah, but what are we really trying to say here? And that's the weird thing about this movie. I think it accurately dives into something that we're just not totally that interested in exploring.
Right, okay.
It's a 7 out of 10, really good. You have to like Adam Driver to like this movie. And I feel like this is probably one of the last times I've seen everything that Adam Driver has done so far.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the last times I want him being kind of like this character.
I suspect I have bad news for you.
I
suspect
imagine
he's not yet done being that character.
Well, I can't imagine he's going to be able to pull this character off in Star Wars. Otherwise, that'll be a very surprising thing.
True.
But yeah, it's just that kind of weird energy, manic at times, dead on to the point, but still somehow aloof and superior that he's really good at. But I've seen him do it so much now that I'm ready for some other things to toss in there as well.
All right.
But yeah, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a movie that you need to see in the theater. Okay. Like it totally reeks of like video on demand or Netflix. Yeah, I'll give this a go.
Then there's also a movie called Freetown. On like 120 screens, it's around, and it's based on a true story. It's about Mormon missionaries in Africa who are in peril. They were during there was a civil war in Liberia, and they trying to get out of the country over to Sierra Leone for safety. And
you this know, is like late 80s, early 90s, isn't it?
Yeah, something yeah. Like that. And the situation is bad when people are trying to get to Sierra Leone for safety. Like if that's the safer option for you, stuff is messed up. It's written and directed by a guy named Garrett Batty, who, full disclosure, I know. He was in the Garen's comedy troupe with me. And he made a movie a few years ago called The Saratov Approach, also based on a true story. That was about two Mormon missionaries who were kidnapped in Russia. So Garrett has found his niche, which is movies about Mormon missionaries in peril.
nobody else has
attacked. That's true. No one has tapped that market yet. So, and I... Nice. Having been one, there's plenty of stories. Oh, I should tell him the story about the time that a guy answered the door naked. Freaked us out. Just answered the door naked. It didn't get really dangerous, I guess. But
was
it freaked us out.
Was he doing it as a shock factor, or was he a fool?
I think he was really high.
Oh, okay. Did he not know he was naked until you let him know he was naked?
He was aware that he was naked, but did not seem to care. He's just letting it all hang out. Just open the door. Hey, yeah, fellas, come on in. Whatever.
And you're
maybe
saying
that wouldn't make a great movie.
You're saying Freetown is more intriguing or less intriguing?
There's more actual physical danger.
Okay.
Because the thing is, the deal with the – I don't know anything about Liberia or the Civil War. Just what I read in the papers. But evidently, it's a whole – with two tribes. And the rebels are going around killing anybody who belongs to this other tribe. But you can't tell just by looking at someone. And so they have to ask, and I guess you're just on the honor system, like to say if you're part of that tribe. I don't know how that works exactly, but
all right.
Anyway, so they have to escape. I don't think it's a great movie, but I do think it's a solid drama with some, and it's got the spiritual elements, and then it's also got some of the elements of like a Hollywood, trying to escape from the genocide kind of thriller kind of thing.
On a scale of one to Mormon, how Mormon do you have to be to appreciate it?
Not Mormon specifically at all. I mean, it helps. No? I think to be religious, I think you'd need to. I think it would definitely play better for people of some religious faith, but not Mormon specifically necessarily. No, but it's good. It's a solid B minus. Yeah. The movie Freetown, and again, especially I think if you're the sort of person who would like to see a spiritual drama with some elements of suspense and thrills, then this would be good for you. If you're generally not interested in a spiritual drama, then it's probably not for you.
All right,
sir. There you go. Freetown. And congrats to my old friend Garrett for making another movie. That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Even getting a bad movie into theaters is a lot of work. And here's one that's pretty decent and made it into theaters. Good old nice. Garrett. That's all the movies, right? There are none more movies.
None. Zero movies in the theater besides those that are new. There's some old ones.
So then it's time for question of the week.
It's time for question of the week.
That's where we asked you, I guess, apropos of nothing, really.
I looked at some of my kids' animals that were out. And thought of this question.
All right. It was, what's your favorite animal character, non-animated, in a movie?
How do you feel that more than one person said Chewbacca? How do you feel? How do you feel? Be honest. How do you feel?
I guess I understand the impulse to consider him an animal, but I suspect Chewbacca would find that offensive. Because he comes from a whole race of Wookiees, right? Like, they run their planet, the Wookiee planet.
Yeah, that's
true. They're not considered animals on their planet, right? They're the main species.
Animal would totally be an insult.
I feel like in this context, yeah, you're saying, oh, because he's hairy and doesn't speak English, he's an animal? Well, the same could be said of Italians. Hairy and don't speak English.
No, I know why you said it. I just didn't like that.
I'm saying the same could be. I'm not saying I would call them animals. I'm saying by that logic.
Like if somebody did.
Yeah, no.
But you didn't.
It's not me, no. The Greeks, yes. The Greeks are animals. Just swarthy animals who can't speak English.
All right, so there we have it. So many people did like Chewbacca as an answer.
I understand because the sentiment. But you didn't mean to be offensive, I know. But
this is the thing. If you called Chewbacca an animal to his face, mm-hmm. you would be worried about doing it.
Yes, exactly.
You wouldn't say, oh, you're a great animal.
Mm-hmm. Who's a good boy? Chewbacca. No, you wouldn't do that. Chewbacca would he would rip your arms off.
Speaking of who's a good boy, Dallas says Frank the Pug in the Men in Black movies.
I accept that.
I accept it. Here's another one. How did you feel about Dallas Neighbors? By the way, back-to-back Dallas is always enjoyable.
I'm glad because it helps me tell them apart.
Yep. It shows that they're not the same.
I don't remember who Fizzgig is from The Dark Crystal.
It's kind of the almost like a little circle furball puppet thing. It did make me go, that's another excuse. I got to sit through Dark Crystal again.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, a little tribble, a little Furby, a little thing. Yeah. All right.
Now, do you feel like that counts?
Yeah, because I think that thing did not come from a planet populated entirely by those things, right?
Well, then I have another question for you. Peter says Fozzie Bear. How do you feel?
Well, Fozzie Bear is an animal. He's a bear.
He's a Muppet, though.
He's a bear.
Feel like Muppets are necessary.
No, but talk about themselves like, I'm a bear, I'm a frog, I'm a pig. Like, they are very consistent that they are those animals.
But aren't they first and foremost a Muppet? In their opinion.
Someone may have to – I feel like
because
they –
Because, here's the thing. Professor Honeydew, would he consider himself a human?
Yeah, he's a human.
He's a human Muppet.
I guess.
That's what you think.
But they – I know that Fozzie calls him
– Is Beaker human?
Beaker is. Beaker's some kind of freak. Fozzie calls himself a bear, and a bear is an animal. So I feel like we're on safe ground there.
Some deducing. I understand that you've made some deducing. All right.
Nico says, go ahead. I was not ready
for this movie to come up.
There's a terrific shaggy chihuahua that Pauly Shore carries around in Jury Duty. Best part of the movie, says Nico, and it predates the Hollywood girls having tiny dogs with them all the time fad by a decade. I will take your word for that, Nico.
I saw Jury Duty in the theater.
Good for you.
Steven says Hachi. Do you know Hachi?
That's the one with is it Richard Gere? Richard Gere has a dog, and I assume the dog dies.
Have you seen? You haven't seen?
No, but I know it made you cry a lot.
Grab some tissues and watch this movie.
Oh, it's that sexy, is it? I was not expecting that.
That is a twist. That's what she said. Let's see.
Adrian, the cat from Inside Llewyn Davis. Yes. Well, he said Inside Llewellyn. Llewellyn Davis. Inside Llewyn Davis was his name, right? Llewyn.
Yeah.
Llewellyn Davis. Yes, the cat. That was a fine cat, as cats go.
Steven says, Jocko, the walrus from 51st Dates. Somebody brought up 51st Dates and Jury Duty.
Man.
That's all I wanted to say there.
Does that walrus like burp on Adam Sandler or something?
It must. Oh, maybe it does something very specifically gross to him.
Probably.
I cannot remember. Much like Adam – no. Much like Drew Barrymore's character?
Can't remember, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. Steph says Babe from Babe Pig in the City. Not the first one.
That second one is a weird movie. I like it.
It is weird to one day I will definitely show my son Babe. Mm-hmm. And then what, a decade later I have to wait to show him the sequel?
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Drew asks, does Animal from the Muppets count? He's called Animal, but is he an animal? And if he is, what kind of animal is he? I don't know. I don't know that.
So Fozzie's a bear, but Gonzo and Animal or might not be animals, is what you're saying.
Gonzo, they definitely make reference to not knowing what he is. I can't remember what they've
said. Except don't they very annoyingly say he's an alien in one of the bad movies, I think.
I don't know if that's canon. But yeah, I don't know if – let's see if Wikipedia knows what animal is.
And then I'll continue.
Yes,
Diane Diane, who's been listening to us since day one, I believe.
Oh, well, you deserve a break then, Diane.
Yeah, you should stop for a while. Mm-hmm. Mr. Whiskers in the voices. It's like she gets us. That's what Diane does. She gets us. She knows how to charm us because Mr. Whiskers from The Voices is a great choice.
Mm, well, yeah, that's right. The Ryan Reynolds movie, which, that's by right. the way, on the DVD, I'm quoted on the back of it. My review is quoted.
Wait a minute. Your first review or your second review that you downgraded the film?
No, the one that I wrote. The only review that I wrote.
Okay. All right. What did you say?
Podcasts don't count. I don't remember what I said, but they quoted me. It's only the second time I've been quoted on a movie DVD.
Does that mean you're going to buy it?
I hope it means they're going to send me one.
Keep waiting.
I know. I don't know what animal is. I don't think it's known specifically what sort of animal is. So I don't know.
Shane has an answer, and I'm curious if it's your answer.
Okay.
Baxter.
Oh, Baxter. Frank. It's a pretty good animal, and I do love that movie.
But here's the full answer from Shane. Mm. If only because the bridge scene made me stop watching the movie until a friend reassured me, spoiler alert, he didn't actually die.
He does kind of come around and save that movie. Like, end of the movie delivers a surprising and very funny scene. Yeah, Baxter would certainly be up there. Yeah, it's a good answer. Digby, the biggest dog in the world. I don't know what that is.
I looked it up. Mm. It's some sort of, I think, Disney movie from the early 70s about this shaggy dog that's just gigantic.
The biggest dog in the world, you might say?
No, but like really gigantic. Like it might like continue growing or something. I'm not positive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Matthew says the ferrets in The Beastmaster. I remember the ferrets wound up. The ferrets, as I recall, are the ones who actually saved the day. Like, they're the ones who actually are heroes and save the world.
They're really good. I think that's a great answer, by the way. That's just – I loved that movie for a long time.
Ghost dogs, pigeons, says Ryan. Ghost dog, Forrest Whitaker. I remember he had pigeons. I don't remember the things with him.
I never saw that movie.
Frickin' sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads, says Chrissy.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, the cat from The Voices, says somebody else.
Yeah, didn't do the research enough.
Well, it was the cat.
the Bumpus dogs from A Christmas Story.
Yes,
the dogs
next door. Yeah.
Was pretty good.
Yeah, very very important to the plot.
You know what's weird?
Hmm.
Oh, Kent says Einstein. Do you immediately know what that's from?
Einstein.
You might not, and I'll tell the audience why after this.
Einstein. I feel like Einstein is a dog, but then I think I'm thinking of Beethoven.
I'll allow the dog. Keep going.
Right. Einstein was a dog. Einstein was Doc Brown's dog.
There you go.
There we
and the
go.
Reason
yes.
you might not have known this is because, was it number three that you had never seen and you hadn't seen two forever?
Yes.
When we did the back-to-back-to-backs?
That is true.
Long ago.
But Einstein's in the first one too, right?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Clearly you hadn't seen Back to the Future as much as other human beings.
Well, the sequels I hadn't anyway.
Had you seen number one a bunch?
I'd seen that plenty of times as a kid, yeah. Okay.
All right. Nobody gave the correct answer, which is weird. Well, what's your answer?
Now that I think about it, I guess if we're counting it, I think we have to. Gizmo from Gremlins. I think that's an animal.
Yes.
I mean, it's a weird animal, and the novelization of the movie indicates that he's actually an alien, but again, that's not in the movie, so I don't know. Yes, I read the novelization when I was 10.
Were you doing that a lot with a lot of novelizations?
I read that. I read Ghostbusters. I read Back to the Future, I remember. I had all those paperbacks. Yeah.
That's good. No, that's actually the second best answer.
Oh, what's the best answer?
The shark from Jaws.
The shark from Jaws. Yeah. Is he really the best animal?
Yeah, like, because if he wasn't in that movie, I think it would have been a pretty bad movie. Whereas other movies, you could technically remove.
Well, I suppose that's true.
The animal, and then maybe it'd still be okay.
Oh, like Pete's Dragon without the dragon is just about this delusional boy.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty good.
Oh, but what if Jaws is about people imagining shark attacks? That'd be a pretty good movie too.
Oh, now we need to do that.
Like they keep
fighting. You know how somebody removed John or Garfield?
Oh, I removed
Garfield.
Garfield without John. Garfield. Yeah, they take Garfield out. Yeah, so it's John talking to himself.
So then
so Jaws, like bodies, Jaws. Body parts keep washing up on shore. They're like, oh, it's a shark attack. It's a shark.
You know, looking for what that means?
But really, it's just a killer.
There would be something in the water making everybody believe that there's a shark.
Oh, like something in the drinking water that is hallucinating? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Totally.
And it's all to cover the tracks of the real killer who somehow works for the water company or whatever, and he's able to put that into the water supply.
And then because he's jacking up utilities.
Yeah, and he wants to – probably wants to destroy Amity Island. Yes, he got gypped by the – no, not gypped. Screwed over. We can't say gypped anymore. You're right, because we used to get angry emails from gypsies who listened to the show. He got screwed over by the Amity City Council for the water deal or whatever. So he wants to destroy all their tourism by making people think that there's sharks in the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good – I think that would be a good take on the Jaws myth.
All right, there we go. That was the question of the week this week.
Question of the week for next week. I suspect I know what inspired this one as well.
yes.
In honor of the fact that Jeff is currently potty training himself and his child. Yeah. It's good to learn together. You go to one of those classes where Daddy and me go and learn together. In honor of that, what's your favorite bodily function moment in a movie? We'll say moment or reference. I think it could also include a joke referring to bodily functions without actually having without actually including
moment
the function.
Moment or reference.
Yeah.
Moment or reference.
Tell us your favorite one involving bodily functions. You can email us at moviebspdx@gmail.com, and it'll be on Facebook. That reminds me, we had an email.
Eric just got up and left everybody. It was very dramatic. This does not happen.
Sorry,
very often.
I almost forgot. Steve emailed us with his favorite animal, and. Oh, it's the dog from I Am Legend. But his least favorite animal, in case we were wondering, is the fly in The Fly. That fly caused a lot of trouble for a lot of people.
Really seemed like it would have. But then again, if it wasn't for that fly, that machine would have gone into mass production. And then think about all of the catastrophes that would have happened to everybody as opposed to just one person.
Maybe it would have saved the world and made the world a better place. Huh. All we know is the fly really screwed things up for Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
And now look at him. Now he looks like Sophia Loren. Or she looks like him. I don't know how that worked. So that's question of the week. That's how that works there. Jeff, what did you watch? Did you watch anything besides movies? Or did you watch besides the movies that we reviewed? Did you watch any other movies? I'll tell you what I watched.
Okay, go ahead.
I watched Stuart Saves His Family, one of the lesser known Saturday Night Live films that came out. It came out 20 years ago, coming up on the 20th anniversary of Stuart Saves His Family. And I watched it for that reason. I had not seen it before. I guess it's the only SNL movie that I had not ever seen, now that I think of it. And it came at the end of that cycle where, remember, you had Wayne's World, and it was a big hit. So then they're like, oh, let's make movies out of everything. So then there was Coneheads and another Wayne's World, and It's Pat, and then Stuart Saves His Family, and that put a stop to it for a few years. and the thing is, it's actually not a bad movie. And I think I'm writing something about it for Vanity Fair, because I write for Vanity Fair, just FYI.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's more like a less of a laugh out loud comedy and more of a comedic take on legitimate issues. Like the Stuart Smalley character is silly, like he is, but everything else about the movie is fairly like down to earth. And it's nice. Actually, I like the movie, but I can see how it's not what you're expecting from an SNL movie.
Okay. I think I saw it, but I'm not positive.
Like it's Pat is bad. It's Pat is like hard to watch. I've done it, and it was hard. Stuart, not hard to watch. And then I also watched that Going Clear, the Scientology documentary.
Oh, you did?
I did watch that. Oh yeah, on HBO. The SNL thing from last week, the song.
Oh, uh-huh.
Much funnier if you've seen the documentary. Yeah. I happened to have just watched it like the day before, and it definitely – there's a parallel.
Yeah, I assumed there was.
Yeah.
I assumed that was the reason behind that.
Going clear, if you got access to the HBO, you should watch that. Very interesting.
Hopefully I'll get around to it now. Well, everybody can have access to the HBO Now because HBO Now exists.
That's true.
Instead
That's true.
Of just HBO Go.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. Anybody can do it.
That's all I've seen extracurricular-wise.
I will watch required viewing for everybody, of course. I will be watching All About Eve soon for the column Remedial Film School.
That's
over
right.
at Film School Rejects, the Amy Nicholson of LA Weekly will be she'll be teaching me all about that film in that
nice.
Column. So you guys can play along at home. So nice. I'll be watching that eventually.
I am not at all bitter that I tried to teach you about that movie and it didn't
nope.
take.
Not
I did
take.
Not care at all. I don't care if you as long as you learn. I don't care who teaches you.
That's nice. That's mm-hmm. nice to think mm-hmm. about. I don't think I watched a movie. I don't think I did. No, just TV again.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to get your priorities straight.
I finally am getting around to watching Community again on Yahoo Screen or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Community. Man, I still like the show.
I know. I know you do. I know you do, but what am I?
I don't love it anymore.
Yeah.
But I still like it. I still like it.
Well, they're going to keep killing it and resurrecting it until every last fan is gone.
Oh, did you watch Mad Men?
No, I'm behind.
Wow.
I know. Shut up about it. I didn't watch it.
Wow. Somebody has a drink of alcohol. Sorry, I know you hate spoilers.
I do know that John Slattery has a Sam Elliott mustache.
Oh, man.
I look forward to enjoying that.
My first impulse was, oh, we need to shave that off soon. And now I kind of just want to keep seeing it. I don't know. It's very, very surprising, though.
So that's that. And that draws us to the conclusion of our show.
That's it?
That All is right. it. I know. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
To recap, The Longest Ride is not good. It's based on a Nicholas Sparks book. And it's like one of those.
It's like one of those that's less odd and less
right.
Insane dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more down to earth, which is disappointing.
Well, but even then, the insanity is always bad too, so who knows?
Right. And then you mostly enjoyed While We're Young.
Yeah, it's totally Bombard. Enjoyable.
And I mostly enjoyed Freetown, about the Mormon missionaries escaping Liberia to get to Sierra Leone. Question of the week is, tell us your favorite bodily function moment or reference in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would say bonus points if it involves potty training, just since that's the theme of I feel like that'll resonate with you personally more, maybe.
By the way, just in general, parents should be telling other parents, really, you're potty training? Why?
You think it's much easier if they just keep pooping in their diapers rather than potty training them.
The only thing I thought about before potty training was, okay, this is going to be tough. I've got to focus. I got to see this through. When would be a good time? We shouldn't be going on any trips right before we do it. But none of my friends that have children, albeit I don't have many that I'm really close to right now, you know, like college friends and all of that sort of thing. None of them went, whoa. Why are you doing that? This is the life right now, man.
Interesting. It almost makes me think, probably everybody else is wrong. That's probably right.
It's probably the case.
Yeah.
Like, they probably think, if I teach my child the potty training technique, they'll probably think I'm really adding to their feeling of self-worth. They'll feel really proud
You're
about what they're accomplishing.
Grow into a real person who can take care of himself in the world.
That's probably what they think.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you're not a stay-at-home parent, I understand then this barely, you know, then this affects you once in the evening maybe, and then a few times on the weekend.
Right.
For me right now,
But
you
do understand that you'll get to the point where it won't affect you at all because it'll be totally self-sufficient. And it won't matter to you when he has to do his business for the most part.
Right. But here's my thing with that in general. My thing with that in general is I could, at the age of one, every day I could use flashcards and work on the idea of teaching Dylan his colors.
Sure.
And then maybe by, 18 months, he knows his colors.
Yeah.
Or I could just wait until he's two and teach him colors, and then he picks it up 2 weeks later.
Right, right.
So my whole theory is, wait, why did I do this? I probably could have done this when he was 3 and a half with the same – like, unless he starts smearing his poop on the wall like a chimpanzee, I just don't see a reason to get your kid out of diapers unless they're, like, digging in there for treasure.
But you do see the need to get them out of diapers eventually.
Yes, okay. Like 10, 11 years old, then okay. It's like, yeah,
all right.
Fine.
All right. Well, your methods are controversial and unorthodox, but they get results, and that's why they got you on the force.
The problem here is there's just no turning back. I did it. He took to it. Great. We're done.
Yeah. Well, my sympathies, I guess, my condolences.
All right. There is one thing.
Huh.
Buying him the big boy underwear of like Batman and Superman was pretty awesome. Even though he has no concept of them.
Right.
I already taught him the Batman dance when he wears the Batman underwear.
Nice.
And that's pretty awesome.
It's good that you're teaching him important cultural things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. You gotta, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Culture your kids.
Especially to make up for those first couple of years of not being able to see TV. Like, you've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Teach him
those
things.
He's still like a strict diet of Daniel Tiger. That's it.
And I still don't know what that is, and I'm pleased to not know.
When I move back, my friend, that theme song will creep into your brain whether you like it or not.
I don't see how that's possible. Like, I'm going to be hanging out at your house with you and Dylan all day? Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay, it probably is.
It better.
All right. So
otherwise, what's the point of convincing my wife that we need a special office that you have keys to?
That's true. Looking forward to getting that apartment over the garage like Fonzie.
Yep.
All right, everybody. So that's what we do here. And thank you. That's what it looks like.
You got the keys to the castle there, everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Congratulations.
So for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric T. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
Said, good day. All right, here we go.
Okay. Yes, go ahead. As soon as you're done eating.
That's a little dry.